So what it was is we have a friend who's in Brazil at the moment, who got caught before the lockdown, and so he's still in Brazil. But he sent through this video of two American preachers who had been discussing a survey that has been done, we think sometime in the last year, and it was about new Christians coming to the Lord. And the results of the survey seem to suggest that if you dip into the Bible once a week, nothing really changes in your life. There's no real impact. If you read your Bible or read the Bible twice a week, there's a very slight change in your life. If you read your Bible three times a week, it seems to balance the issues that you have in your life, so things start to change. But they were really surprised to find that for those who go into the Bible and proactively seek the Lord four times or more per week, there was an exponential growth in the change in people's issues. They said levels of alcoholism dropped by 60%, issues with anger and management and depression and everything else was impacted. So as Andy was speaking about his pond and the leaking of the pond, it just reminded me that if we proactively seek the Lord, not only will the Lord give us, come to us and allow his spirit to come upon us, but he fills us with that abundance. So again, just an affirmation of what you said this morning.
Well, it's so amazing to see everybody. I'm one of those people that feels the fellowship and the missing of the fellowship quite big time. I take very much to heart what Andy said this morning about that leaking pond, and I sometimes look at the levels of my own and wonder, because I can see the scum on the bottom, you know. And then, of course, when I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I must put a nozzle over the watering can so it only goes in a little bit. And so I'm glad to be back amongst people where I can be accountable to them and can share, as the Bible says, confess to your sins to one another that you may be healed. I mean, it's essential to my life that I share mine with you and you with me. And that's the most essential, one of the most essential things. Your prayer, your study, and your fellowship. And I think those three things are our essential life as family, the family of God. I'd like to share with you guys some of the things, maybe one or two things that have really blessed me while I've been away, obviously, whilst we've all been away, and being able to find spiritual input to kind of compensate some of that fellowship loss. If anybody knows the apologist and author Ravi Zacharias, knows that in May this year he went to be with the Lord. And it's round about that time that I started listening to him a little bit and listening to what he had to say. Of course, this guy is an Indian. Came to the Lord at 17 years old on a bed of suicide. One of the things he said to the Lord as he was given a Bible and heard, I can't remember the particular scripture, I think it was, "Because I live, you also will live." This is what he said to God. He says, "If you will take me out of this bed of suffering, this bed of suicide, I'll leave no stone unturned in the search for truth." I've not heard a comment like that of commitment that I could take a hold of myself and say the very same thing every day to the Lord. I want to leave no stone unturned in the search for truth. So I started listening to a lot of his talks, and of course I had to get a dictionary out and look up half the words that he uses, because obviously he's got a strong philosophical base. It's not your Ray Comfort going straight into the law. It's not your Ken Ham talking about creational evolution in a scientific way. So I think God's just adding the occasional string to the bow to see to kind of help expand your base of understanding so you can share things with God. I'd like to perhaps share a little bit with what I've learned from Ravi recently. And one of them is on the question of death and suffering. Isn't that the most knotty question that unbelievers and sceptics will say to you? Whether they're searching for an answer or not, they'll say to you something like, you know, you know, why is, how can you believe in a God who allows all this evil and death and suffering? And because Ravi gets that question all the time, and he got that question all the time in his lectures and in his talks. And one particular man stood up and said that very thing. He said, "Well," he said, "you know, stay standing, and I'll try and answer that." And one of the things he said is that if you believe there's such a thing as evil, then you must also assume there's such a thing as good. And if you assume there's such a thing as good, you must also assume such a thing as immoral law, by which you differentiate good and evil. And the guy agreed with that after a bit of a little hoo-ha. And he said, but then he says, if you assume there's such a thing as good and evil, you must also posit a moral lawgiver. That's the very thing you're trying to deny. Because if there is no moral lawgiver, there's no moral law. If there's no moral law, there's no good. And if there's no good, there's no evil. So what's your question? So, I mean, it's not an attempt to trap somebody, because behind the question is the questioner. And of course, he's sharing in a loving way. Of course, he says, well, how can you be sure that it has to be a moral lawgiver? But if you think about humanity, we're people who have intrinsic value. I mean, when you ask that question about death and suffering, it's always either by a person or about a person. And within that, there's an assumption of there is a moral, becomes a moral question. You know, we always say that death and suffering is a bad thing. And so God has to be in the paradigm, in the question. God already has to exist for the question to make any sense. I mean, if you're confronting somebody who's an atheist and a naturalist, this is what they'll say. You know, their belief is that time plus chance, plus matter plus chance equals us. How do you find intrinsic value in there? There is no intrinsic value. It's extrinsic value that you either give, that society either gives you, or if you're an existentialist, you'll take it upon yourself to say, well, this is what I find valuable about myself. But it's entirely subjective. I mean, we don't want to be clever clogs when we tell people about the question of death and suffering, but because it's such a knotty issue, not just for us, it's a knotty issue for everyone, for non-believers and believers alike, for Muslims, for Hindus and Buddhists. For the Hindu and Buddhist, it's karma. For the Muslim, it's the will of Allah. But for us, it's the Judeo-Christian faith, it's the only faith that really tries to address that question of good and evil in suffering. And of course, when we come to Christ, we see that embodiment of what God has done about it. But don't be afraid of that question. And so, basically, that's what I'll share with you for now, and maybe come back to some other stuff in the future. Thank you.
We may have some more sharing next week. That's really good, and I'd like to hear more.